Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is Producer Dodds.
Hey, guys. For the second time this week, we're in the podcast studio.
Yes, busy week this week.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves because we need to be one episode up, don't we?
Because we're going on holiday.
I say together, but with a few people from the social chain, not just us.
We spend so much time together, we thought we'll go on holiday as well.
So this episode will go out, I guess it'll be next week. But
next week. This is episode 47 of the podcast.
Certainly.
And usual format, we'll go through some news, we'll talk about some bits and pieces, going to talk a little bit about gaming and a forgotten area in a lot of marketers' minds, and then we're going to go through some admission submissions, and finally the main topic this week is going back to something that's a little bit more personal, and it's talking about career progression and feeling lost and how to navigate your way through it.
We don't know at this current time how, because the other podcast's not gone out yet, how the meditation stuff went down.
Yes.
Whether people missed the news or in fact they enjoyed the little bit of difference. How did you find doing it?
I enjoyed it. You said I've got quite a calming voice.
Yeah, especially when you say it like that.
Well, I am excited to get some feedback on that because I'm happy to do it more often and do different areas and different things. So
it felt like there was a fog. Well, it actually felt like there was an absence of a fog. Like, I didn't feel foggy.
Yeah.
But then after I just, like, sat and closed my eyes for 10 minutes, whatever it was, like, I genuinely felt like there wasn't a fog. Like, I was a bit more energetic or just a bit more, like, clear. That's probably a better word.
That's what meditation is good for, isn't
it?
We just don't do it.
I didn't realise that it was required because I was just plodding along.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's a whole different version of me that's, like, much more...
Just alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that station, I think, more. You know, the one in the office.
Yes.
Meditation station. Sorry. I know that was a little rant, but...
It wasn't a rant. It was good. First piece of news that we've seen, and a very cool way of using data to inform marketing messages. A few weeks ago, it was incredibly warm and all we could talk about was the heat and how we couldn't sleep and how it was impacting our lives. Burger King did something incredibly clever with the use of data, and using an algorithm, they dropped the prices of their cold treats as the temperature rose. It was a great way for Burger King to get involved in the conversation that everyone was happening about heat and also get more people into store. Disney have announced a new streaming service, and I think that it might be a bit of competition for Netflix, and Netflix could be in trouble here. So Disney have announced that they are joining together Disney content, Hulu content, and also ESPN content into one package. They're going up directly against the main competitor of Netflix. Netflix's subscribers have started to decline, so it could be a turning point, and Netflix could be in a little bit of trouble with this one. I now want to talk about the perfect marketing opportunity that your brand is overlooking. That being gaming. A lot of brands see gaming as incredibly niche and they don't understand it. And that's because they're not from that world. But with an estimated 32 million players in the UK, and with millions of those tuning in to see a young 16-year-old win the Fortnite World Cup final, it is an untapped market that is bigger than ever before. Why is it perfect for your brand? Well, first and foremost, when someone is gaming, their full attention is going on the game. They're not split screening. They're not talking to their friend. They're not scrolling through their timeline. Their focus is on what's going on in the game. On average, gamers spend 7 hours and 7 minutes every week gaming. So if you could get your brand into the games that they are playing, imagine the exposure that you could get. FIFA is a great example with their new career mode. Imagine being a clothing brand and linking up with FIFA to be the supplier for Alex Hunter's clothes whilst he's not playing. The exposure your brand would get to those millions of people, the last FIFA sold 24 million copies. Imagine the exposure and engagement you would get for your brand. If they are not gaming, we know that these people are on gaming websites and forums and blogs, just like the ones that we own, which are things like GameBite and Frag Hero. By owning and managing these communities, what it has allowed us to do is connect our hyper-engaged audience with brands, which has created real results for these businesses. We've got lots and lots of examples where our campaigns have transformed companies' objectives and smashed their targets. That is because we understand these people better than anyone else could, because we are creating content every single day that they like to engage with. We know how to talk to them, and we know how to talk to them in their own way. That means that they're going to engage, they're going to share, and they're going to react. So using social chain data, we have run some studies on this gaming audience, and I want to run through some key findings with you right now. First thing is that core gamers have high disposable income, earning over £35,000 a year. They are more likely to go on holiday than the average person. They're likely to own a home and they eat out regularly. This has a massive opportunity for not just tech brands to get involved in the conversation with this audience. When it comes to brands, we found that gamers are really cynical when it comes to how they're spoken to, because they think that brands are trying to talk their language but failing. So our advice is to work with a publisher who knows how to speak to this audience and make sure that you're using your brand and their language in the right way. And finally, a third of all gamers comment on purchases that they have made on social. So if you're looking at creating a buzz, if you want to change perceptions about your brand, or if you want to generate more UGC, then this is something to consider. So there we have it, a real untapped audience that could be very lucrative for your brand. Now it is time for our admission submissions. And if you don't know what these are and you're new to the podcast, it's where you guys send in your admission submission with a question or a query or something that you need a bit of help with. And we try and help you as much as we can. So if you want to leave your own admission submission, please go to the website www.katieleeson.com, and there is a section on there where you can leave your anonymous submission and I will try and cover it in the show. We get quite a lot of these, so I love working through them. It's my favourite part of the podcast, and this week is no exception. So the subject of the first one is, I feel like I should cancel my holiday, from a female aged 27. I'm going away in the next 2 weeks, but I'm constantly worried about getting everything in order before I go. The stress is ruining what should be an exciting build-up to a holiday. Any advice? So, I know this feeling. Dodds and I know this feeling. I think we had the weirdest meeting we've ever had earlier this week.
Was it Monday?
Monday.
When we realised that we were both on holiday at separate points, so we got like 5 or 6 weeks when we're not in the office together. So we just had to try and figure all out what the hell's going to happen during those weeks.
It was a very confusing hour where we were trying to figure out logistics. And the thing is, you know when you need a holiday. I always know when I'm getting to the point where I need a break. And that fear of letting people down or getting something wrong is incredibly tough. So my advice is, you have to be prepared, I think. So make sure you can wrap up as much as you can and leave excellent handover notes, detailed handover notes that people know which part they've got to pick up if there's anything left to pick up. My tip on handover notes is start to write them a few days before you go, so you're not writing them right on the last minute before you leave the office, because then you can start thinking about things and you can let people know about what you need a bit of help with while you're away, what might need picking up. I also think it's worth doing a bit of a pre-holiday checklist. So making sure you've done what you need to do before you leave the office, and then also write yourself another list, which is a to-do list for when you get back. So you know that you can leave that in the office and you don't have to keep thinking while you're away, I've got to do this, I've got to remember to do that, I've got it. So you can fully go away and have a break. Now, some people don't like to switch off completely. Some people like to keep in touch just in case, so they're there. I like to do a bit of both. So some days I feel like I can be contacted. Some days I like a bit of a break. I think if you do like to be contacted, a great tip is to say to someone, I will be available between the hour, like for an hour every day between this time and this time. And if you feel like you still need contact with the office, that way you're in control. So it's not going to impact on your holiday and your relaxation time. Feeling stressed about going on holiday, but then you should never cancel your holiday. Never feel like you shouldn't go, or you should cancel something because you feel like it's more stressful to go. Because the benefit of going away, just like the meditation we did in the last episode, that freedom of your mind and the escapism of doing everything that you normally do on a day-to-day basis, being able to have a bit of breathing space, catch up on some sleep, relax, means that you're more likely to come up with ideas that mean you're going to be invigorated when you get back. So it's probably the most important thing you can do in the year is make sure you plan regular breaks. One thing that I do want to say is don't obsess about getting absolutely everything done before you go away. Of course, it's great to tie up any loose ends, but try not to turn your relaxation in time into panic moments where you remember that you forgot to do something or worrying about what you've not got to do. And don't obsess about it. The world still rotates. And the most important thing is you get that time away to relax, relax your mind, relax your brain, and then you can come back fighting fit and get loads more done and be loads more efficient than you would have been pre-holiday. So I want to wish you a very lovely holiday, and I can't wait to go on mine. Next admission submission is all about the subject reads visualization, and this is from a 34-year-old male. The message reads, people are always saying that you should use visualization techniques to will things into existence. And I've always had a problem with that, because without actually doing something, that's impossible. What do you think of things like The Secret? It's tricky for me. I've never really used visualization techniques as a thing to get me there. But one thing that I am working on at the moment is trying to understand my values and what I hold dear and what I want to achieve, which I think is probably a visualization technique. And I think in terms of focusing your goals towards something and being positive about reaching those goals, that is where visualization works, because you know what you want to do, you know that you need to get there, and you can maneuver yourself and learn what you need to do to in order to get you to that place. One thing that we do here at Social Chain is we work with people to find their North Star. And in finding their North Star, we can then work backwards on how to get them there. And the way that the North Star works is that we ask them where they want to be in 3 or 5 years' time. And we spend time, and not just their role, not just their job, not just their life, but also where they eat, their journey to work in the morning, who they live with, where they're living, what work they're doing, if they're managing someone. We can then get a picture of what their dream state is, and then we can work back in order to how to get them there and what training needs they need. That is because we know that jobs, especially jobs nowadays, and I've talked about it before, don't take the traditional career path ladder, and you tend to jump around. And there's so many new opportunities for roles. So I know that Jason Fisher, who is our director of video, he at school told one of the teachers that what he wanted to do when he grew up was be a videographer. And the teacher turned around and told him, you can't do that. That's not a real job. Fast forward a few years, and not many years, he's only turning 21 this year. Fast forward a few years, he is now our director of video, and he is super talented. One of the most talented people I've ever met. And that just goes to show that you can't really plan too far ahead in terms of roles because you don't know what's going to be around the corner. But what you can do is understand where you want to get to and what kind of life you want to lead and help navigate yourself in that way. You need to figure out what your values are, how you want to work, where you want to work, and then you can figure out exactly how you get there. That, for me, is the best thing for visualization. It's about being positive and turning that positive and helping that get you to where you want to be. I'm not sure that just visualizing something will actually make it happen like a magic trick, but I think by being positive, having a goal set in mind is the thing that will help you get there. That leads me nicely into my main topic of the week, because I really want to expand on this a little bit more. And it is, I shouldn't say this, but I'm lost. A few times in my career, I've really struggled to see what my next step was going to be and understand where and how I was going to get there. But I never had the goal of becoming a managing director. I always just wanted to keep progressing and going up as high as I could, but I never really knew what I wanted to do or how I was going to get there. If you feel that there are signs that your career is stalling, you can ask yourself this: do you feel challenged? Are you making an effort to sharpen your professional skills? Are you getting the high-profile assignments that you used to get? Or is it the industry that you're in? There are times when your career can stall, which can be completely beyond your control. For example, if you're in an industry which you work could be stagnant, or yet it could be in decline, what do you do? Also, do you actually want to get better in the job that you're in? Do you want to do more? I think if you've answered those questions with a bit of doubt, what you need to do is figure out your values to understand whether you're in the right role in the right company and establish what your strengths are and your goals are to create your career progression plan. So you are 6 times more effective when you're working on your strengths. So there's 3 steps to finding your unique strength. The first one is to choose your sources and seek feedback. Either ask yourself or identify about 10 people who you know from different walks in life when they've seen you at your best. Once a pattern arrives in that feedback, look for common themes and then you can list those themes. So for example, it might be that your strengths have all been when you've been doing a sell, or they might be when you've been supporting someone else. And that then can suggest your strengths to you. It can help you create a self-portrait, which will bring out the best in you. And you know then what your strengths are and what type of roles you should be going for. How do you use those strengths once you've got them? Well, you go back to that North Star that I mentioned before. Really think about where you want to be, what life you want to lead, what drink you want to be drinking when you're walking into work in the morning, and use your strengths to understand where you need to work on your weaknesses. So you could be really strong in certain areas, but there could be certain things that you need to do to get to that North Star. So if you're not managing people at the moment, but in your dream mind, you've got a team that you're working with and are working for you, then you need management training to get you there. So you can identify skills gaps while you're doing this. Know what you're really good at, know what you need to work on, and then try and work on those to bring your skill set up. If you are completely lost and there are a world of possibilities out there, using this technique of using your North Star, understanding your strengths, and then knowing how to build on those strengths and also build your weaknesses will enable you to get to your goal quickly, understand yourself better, and know what possibilities are out there. That is the end of this podcast. I really hope you've found it useful, and I'd love to hear how your North Star visualization techniques go down and if it's helped you to make a decision that you were struggling with. Please join us again for the next episode. We will be back next week. See you soon.